The 1868 U.S. presidential election was one of those pivotal moments in American history, a snapshot of a nation trying to find its footing after the Civil War. Picture it. The country is still reeling from the devastation of war, grappling with the enormous challenges of Reconstruction, and figuring out how to bring millions of formerly enslaved people into the political and social fabric of a democracy that wasn't exactly seamless to begin with. Against this backdrop, two major figures emerged to define the election: Ulysses S. Grant and Horatio Seymour. 1968 was a landslide. Let's start with Ulysses S. Grant. By 1868, Grant was a bona fide national hero. This is the guy who, as the commanding general of the Union Army, delivered victory in the Civil War. His reputation was built on grit, determination, and a knack for achieving results under pressure. He wasn't a polished politician, and honestly, he didn't need to be. His campaign slogan, "Let us have peace," was simple and resonated deeply with a war-weary nation. It painted him as the leader who could bring stability and healing, even if his political skills were, shall we say, a bit untested. Grant ran as the Republican candidate, representing a party that was solidly aligned with Reconstruction, civil rights for freedmen, and the Union's wartime legacy. On the other side was Horatio Seymour, a name that hasn't aged quite as well in the annals of history. Seymour was a former governor of New York and a Democrat. The Democrats in 1868 were in a bit of a tough spot. Their party was still closely associated with the South, slavery, and opposition to the war. Seymour himself was a moderate, but he had the unenviable task of running for president in a party that was divided and had to navigate a tricky relationship with its southern base. His campaign took a cautious tone, emphasizing states' rights and criticizing Republican Reconstruction policies as overreaches of federal power. Now let's talk about the electorate, because the makeup of voters in 1868 was pretty unique. For the first time, African American men in several southern states were able to vote, thanks to the Reconstruction Acts and the presence of federal troops ensuring they could exercise that right. This was a revolutionary change. Imagine being newly freed from slavery and then casting a vote in a presidential election. It's hard to overstate the significance of that moment. Meanwhile, many white Southern men, particularly former Confederates, were disenfranchised during Reconstruction, which flipped the usual power dynamics in parts of the South. In the North, the electorate was more stable, but debates about Reconstruction, racial equality, and the economy were just as heated. The state of the nation was complicated, to say the least. The Civil War had ended only 3 years earlier, and the scars were fresh. Reconstruction was an ambitious and controversial project, aiming to rebuild the South while integrating freedmen into society as full citizens. The Republicans, under figures like Thaddeus Stevens and Charles Sumner, pushed for sweeping reforms, but these were met with fierce resistance from many white Southerners and even some moderate Northerners. Economic concerns were also front and center. The war had left the country with significant debt, and debates over how to handle that, gold versus greenbacks, played a big role in the campaign. So, what about the campaign itself? It was fiery, to say the least. Grant and the Republicans hammered home their commitment to Reconstruction and civil rights. They positioned themselves as the party of Union victory and progress. Seymour and the Democrats, on the other hand, leaned heavily into fears about federal overreach and painted the Republicans as radicals. There was also a strong undercurrent of racial tension in the Democratic campaign, as they tried to appeal to white voters anxious about the social changes Reconstruction was bringing. When the votes were counted, Grant emerged as the clear victor. He won 214 electoral votes to Seymour's 80. That's a landslide by any measure, but the popular vote tells a more nuanced story. Grant received just over 3 million votes, while Seymour wasn't far behind with about 2.7 million. So, while the Electoral College outcome was lopsided, the popular vote was closer than you might expect. This divide highlights the unique dynamics of the time, where Reconstruction policies and the inclusion of African American voters in the South gave Grant an edge in states that might not have gone Republican otherwise. Why is it considered a landslide? Well, it's all about context. The overwhelming margin in the Electoral College sent a strong message that the country was, at least for the moment, committed to the Republican vision of Reconstruction. Grant's victory cemented the idea that the Union's wartime leadership would continue to shape the post-war era. It also showed the growing power of African American voters in the South, whose support was crucial to Grant's success in several states. Grant's presidency would go on to be a mixed bag. He struggled with corruption in his administration and faced mounting resistance to Reconstruction in his second term. But his 1868 victory was a watershed moment, a signal that the country wasn't ready to abandon the project of Reconstruction just yet, even if the road ahead was anything but smooth. It was a moment where the Union's ideals, hard won on the battlefield, were tested in the political arena, and for a time, they prevailed.